Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Patty Zunica, sitting in today for Jim Ganley.
And I'm MJ Crowder. Jim is out, but we expect him back next week. Will be. I just want to put a little, just toss a little Amazon smile out to our listeners.
That's a good one.
It is the same as Amazon. And if you are doing last minute Christmas shopping, and I think Amazon Prime offers 2 days.
Yes.
So there's still plenty of time to get your favorite things. But if you click on to Amazon Smile instead of Amazon Prime, Catholic Radio, and choose Catholic Radio, we get 1% or 2% or something, a little tick like
that. It makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
Quarterly checks, mm-hmm. and people have been so generous. But you're right. It just takes, just take a time to click on that box so that you choose that they will send a percentage of all your sales.
They do.
It isn't just over this time of the year. It's for the year. So just click on it, and you don't ever have to do it again. But
amen.
Catholic Radio
amen.
Benefits.
Amen. Amazon Smile. Remember that. And it's exactly the same as Amazon, and I use them all the time. Love Amazon.
I do, too.
Okay, our guest on Faith in Action today, we've got a studio full of guests. Feels like a radiothon almost. Scott Seibert. He's got lots of initials behind his name. Lots of initials, but I'll just say he's the director of Office of Marriage and Family Life, and he's a professional.
Oh, thank you. Wow, yeah.
I would say like a social worker, a family therapist.
That's it.
All of that, all that stuff.
Clinical social worker.
And then beside him, we've got Mark Tuttle, president of Indianapolis Right to Life. I said that twice. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
God bless you.
The Catholic Radio studio is kind of a home away from home.
It is. The Catholic Cave. You guys are, I'm surprised you're not syndicated now and big and famous and been taken away from us by now.
We have way, way too much fun with that show.
you really, every once in a while, I catch you guys. I don't catch every weekend. But there is a certain routine that I go through when we go to Sunday Mass and I come home and we're fixing lunch and I turn it on. And I have always been impressed with...
I hadn't thought about it. That's a perfect mix, because you sit there, you have the Sunday lunch, you get that big belly, and then you listen to Tim and I, and you just sort of snooze off.
No. I think you guys, when you come across as these philosophers, borderline theologians, but I do like that you kind of, you take what's going on right now, and then you go so deep. I mean, you take it back, you know, several hundred years, I mean, to the origins of the church and why we have this teaching, and compare and contrast to what's going on right now. Yeah, I do love it. I love the Catholic Cave.
Well, like I said, we have a tremendous amount of fun with it. So,
well, today we're going to talk about everything life.
Life is
beautiful. Yeah. Life is good. There was mm-hmm. a movie, I think, like that, Life is Beautiful, a few years ago. Yeah, I think there was. But a concentration camp, maybe, or something like
that.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Buongiorno, Principessa.
There you go.
Hey,
okay.
Wow.
So, first of all, big happenings in January.
Yeah.
For those listeners who don't know what happens January 22nd-ish, you know, right around there, what is going on, Scott?
Sure. I'm really excited. So we have the first Indiana March for Life on January 22nd.
What? Indiana March for Life.
Indiana March for Life. So it's the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So we decided, let's go big. And let's bring it home. Let's bring it local. And so we hope we give a little D.C. flair here to Indiana.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So Mass with two bishops, Archbishop Thompson and Bishop Doherty, and then a march, which Mark will talk more about.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we wrap the day up with Vigil for Life, and Abby Johnson's coming to Indianapolis to speak.
How did you snag her from Washington? I would have thought she'd be a keynote speaker at the Washington March. How'd you get her, Mark?
Well, you know, the Washington March is the 19th, so it's the Friday before. They try to do that, I think, to make a big extended long weekend where the pro-lifers can come and take over Washington, D.C. for the weekend.
Sure.
But March or January 22nd is not until Monday. Right. And so that leaves a little bit of lag where people can get back and forth. So even if you're going to Washington, D.C., you can still participate in the Indiana March for Life.
Love it, love it, love it. What time of day is it going to be?
So Mass starts at 12:10 at St. John's Evangelist downtown. And then the day just goes from there.
Right. After Mass, people will gather along Georgia Street. Yes. And then we'll kind of proceed up and around, and we'll do a big march around the Capitol.
Okay, now I do love this. Who came up with this idea? I love it because there are so many people. I mean, you know this, Mark. I mean, from doing this for years and years and years and years. But I can't tell you how many people have the desire to participate and want to support and want to be there, but cannot get to Washington.
You know, this really came out of about three or four different people putting our heads together because we all had our January 22nd events going on independently. And so, you know, the Archdiocese and then the Diocese of Lafayette and us, we all had separate events. And all of us were getting a few hundred people at our events. And we kind of said, why are we doing separate events? Why don't we do one big event?
Amen.
Because, you know, Fort Wayne has a large event that they do. And Chicago has a giant event that they do. And St. Louis has a giant event that they do. And there's absolutely no reason that Indiana can't have, you know, our
state
giant
capital.
Events. Exactly.
For pity's sake. Yeah. Mark Tuttle, Scott Seibert. Okay, so I was going to ask you about buses. You don't need to bus in people. I mean, it's right downtown.
Well, you know, I mean, this is Indiana March for Life. So this is our state government. So please, the more the merrier. You want to come from Evansville? You want to come from Gary? You want to come? Please, we'd love to have you. I know Lafayette is sending some of their schools, so there'll be buses. And, you know, the Archdiocese goes all the way down to the Ohio River.
Yes,
so
it does.
You know, let's commute. Let's make it big.
Do you know, I mean, since you're kind of on the diocesan level, do you know if parishes are, if this is being organized through youth groups at parishes or how is this word gotten out?
There's,
how is it getting out?
Yeah, there's a bit of a pulse there. I think they're still intrigued. I'd say the Catholic high schools are the ones that are most verbally engaged in organizing trips. But parishes are doing the same thing.
So is that something that we could do in addition to coming out and supporting, but maybe, hey, I'm willing to take this on and let's put it out through our parish and try to gather a support group from our parish to...
Yes,
so that's something
please.
We can all do. Okay.
Yeah, and certainly I think carpooling or putting together a bus is going to be advantageous because, you know, if you've got an entire parish and they're coming in 50 different cars, parking's going to be an issue, and meeting up down there is going to be hard. But if you all come together, you know, then you can march together, you can be together, you can make a day of it together, and it becomes much more of an extension of your parish's pro-life outreach.
Right. And this, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the holiday is actually the week before. Martin Luther King holiday is actually the week before. So that will be like a working day for Indianapolis. So there will be people humming.
Right.
Anyway.
It's a great excuse to play hooky.
Right. Right. Okay. So you're gathering, you said, on Georgia Street. Is there going to be, besides Abby, so Abby Johnson's going to be a speaker. So how is that going to kind of be?
Right. Well, we're going to have the march. So we'll gather on Georgia Street. We'll march up and we'll
from
head
the church.
Up from the church. Right.
Okay.
We'll head up Capitol Street and then kind of loop all the way around the Capitol. And then we'll meet and congregate there on the south lawn of the state capitol. And we'll have speakers and a rally and all of that from the steps of the state house. And then later that afternoon, we'll have our ecumenical rose ceremony. So previous to this, Right to Life has had a memorial for the unborn service at the Indiana War Memorial.
Okay.
This year, we'll be having it there at the state capitol. And we'll, you know, people will gather there for an ecumenical prayer service and the memorial of bringing one rose down to represent 1 year's worth of victims of abortion. And it'll be there at the Capitol. So the legislators will be able to see it. And so there'll be a bit of a political impact. And Abby will be speaking at that. And then later in the evening, there'll be a youth rally back at St. John's, and Abby will be the headliner for that as well. So there's kind of a double dose of Abby Johnson.
So it's a whole afternoon. I mean, pretty much the day.
Exactly. Yeah. We designed it that way intentionally, that this would be a day set aside for people to advocate on behalf of the unborn.
I love it. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Scott Seibert, he is the director of the Office of Marriage and Family Planning and Family Life for the diocese. We also have Mark Tuttle, president of Right to Life of Indianapolis. God bless you both for being here. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Three things keep Catholic Radio Indy on the air. One is our fervent desire to spread the gospel message. Two is your donations to the station. We couldn't survive without them. And three is underwriting from area businesses. Every month, these businesses make donations to the station. Please support them. Visit their stores, send them an email, or call them. Let them know that you appreciate their support of Catholic Radio. It's a great way to thank our underwriters for their very important support.
This is MJ Crowder. Happy and blessed Christmas greetings from all of us at the Crowder House to all of our wonderful listenership. This has been a year of abundant blessings and changes at Catholic Radio, and for this I am thankful. I wish for each one of you moments of peace and quiet amidst all of the hustle and bustle, moments to think of a small child who will become our Savior, moments to savor the greatest gift of all. God's blessings to each of you.
Hi, this is Patty Zunica. I'm the bookkeeper and traffic person here at Catholic Radio. Part of my job involves processing all of the donations that come into the station. Honestly, I'm overwhelmed by the generosity of listeners like you. Thank you very much. On behalf of my husband Tom, my family, and myself, I'd like to wish you and your family the very best this Christmas season. May the joy you experience as we celebrate the birth of our Savior stay with you throughout the new year.
Hi, this is Jim Ganley. You hear my voice a lot here on Catholic Radio, so I'll keep my greeting really short. I'd just like to say that on behalf of myself and my wife, Sharon, may everyone at your house enjoy a very merry Christmas season and a happy, holy new year. Wow, that really was short. Well, in my last few seconds, I'll just slip in two words for everyone who supports Catholic Radio with their prayers or financial support. Thank you.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Scott Seibert. He is the director. I love saying that.
I like God hearing
bless
it.
You, right? the director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese, and Mark Tuttle, president, Right to Life of Indianapolis. God bless you both for being here. You know, I did not know about this until we chatted a week or two ago, and I got a little blurb, and I thought, wait, what the heck? Is he talking about the walk or the walk? I mean, is it here or there?
Yes.
So this is pretty impressive. I mean,
it is pretty impressive.
Wonderful. I even see schools coming, loading up some school buses and bringing them down. Because what a great witness. And for it to be right here. Because usually eighth graders honor high schoolers or college. But heck, I mean, this middle of the day, you could have grade schools down there. Wouldn't this be wonderful?
And that's one of the big advantages of taking part in a March for Life like this. When people go to Washington, D.C., they often come back going, oh my gosh, there were so many young people. Sure. And it doesn't matter what age you are when you're participating. That's always very energizing to see that the youth are getting engaged in this issue. And, that's been a huge part of the culture shift that's been going on for the past decade or so. As the youth are aging and becoming young adults, they're engaged. They're taking part in the pro-life movement. And we're seeing numbers of abortions on the decline. We're seeing the number of abortionists start to decline. And I think starting with an Indiana March for Life, starting the inaugural year of the Indiana March for Life now, it's kind of timely because of that, because we are able to kind of engage almost a new pro-life movement that's coming on board.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we've had so many guests the last few months, Teens for Life. We had an advocacy group actually that uses visual posters. I mean, visual. And many of those kids said that the way they got started was going to the March for Life. And they were so energized and excited and enthused by the number of people They had no idea because, of course, mainstream media doesn't really cover it. I remember when my daughter Anna went years ago, and she said, "Mom, did you see us on the news? Did you see all the, you know, people on the news?" And of course, absolutely, we did not. We did not see the thousands and thousands of thousands. I don't know that we even got a little bit of a byline. I don't know. But I was looking for the, you know, like the Million Man March coverage. I was looking for that for Donna, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
Scott?
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't.
No.
But her videos, thank goodness she had.
Well, and this year we had people from, I think, the Knights of Columbus were sending us, because we were covering it live on Catholic Radio Indy. But we had people sending us photos that we were putting up right away on Facebook, because you're right. Until you listen to Catholic Radio, you don't realize we're not getting coverage of this. And this is so big. And this is so, we've got to keep the movement going.
Yeah, the running joke is that the Pentagon has contacted the organizers of the March for Life, and they're very interested of how you can get a 250,000 people in and out of a city with nobody noticing. The Pentagon wants to know this. So.
You know, I'm wondering, Mark, first of all, I have to say, having you here in studio is the first time I've seen you since the dinner. I think it's since the dinner. And I just have to say that every year I think it's the best you've ever had. It's kind of like our Catholic Radio dinner every year. However, and although I know I've said this before, I do think that this year the dinner was not only the best, even though you did have the fire alarm, we thought that was, you know,
the fire alarm was a little bit.
That was unfortunate.
That was unfortunate.
But, you know, everyone, I thought, you know, this is going to be in the paper tomorrow and everybody stayed. It's like the Titanic. Yeah. Everybody just stayed. We looked at each other.
And the sad thing about something like the fire alarm is now from now on, this will be known as the fire alarm year. So, yeah.
Oh, gosh. But the fire alarm aside, I have to give a shout out to Pastor Boyd, because I thought that the ask this year was the best ever, and his kind of heartfelt, okay, you got to give, and guess what? I've got my envelope right here, and I'm giving. Was incredible.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job. Yeah, the whole night was great. And I think Patty will kind of relate to this a little bit. When you have a successful dinner, you feel the pressure for the following year to be able to follow it up. But our speaker, Pam Stenzel, she hit the sweet spot in a lot of ways of the group we're trying to reach out to, what we're trying to focus on for the next year. So she really did a good job of helping us set the stage to communicate who we are, what we're doing, how we're impacting the culture, and kind of where we're going forward. So, I mean, it was a perfect mixture of elements that came forward. And, yeah, it was a very successful dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I always, every year, I make the same mistake. We never get down there early enough to kind of have the time to spend and chat with people. You know
it's
what I'm talking about?
It's a wonderful event. And that's why I'm so excited about this March, is it's carrying that excitement forward. But the more we can get people together who are pro-life, who are excited about it, and get us showing to everyone else, and who are kind of afraid of, oh, but, you know, I want to be politically correct, and I don't want to judge people, but who just want to say, we're pro-life, join us, and come on board. And this getting together of everyone is wonderful.
Yeah, it, you know, says Joanne Byram, God bless her, used to say it's not a Catholic issue. Not a Catholic issue. And the dinner more than any other event really, really exemplifies that. I mean, across the board, you see so many people from all walks of life, all faith or into everything. Mm-hmm. I just love it. Okay, Right to Life. I'm going to get back to you, Scott, in a second, but
no worries.
To Life. What's the latest? What's
Well, we're continuing to focus on the cultural change, and I think that's kind of where things are going. And that's partly, I think, why you're starting to see the rise of these sort of regional, local marches for life, because the battle to end abortion is really beginning to take place more at the local level, more at the state level, and that's where we're continuing to engage. We're really trying to make an effort to impact that group of men and women who are abortion-minded, but they don't necessarily need the material support that's offered through our network of pregnancy resource centers, et cetera. What they need are people to stand in the background and say, oh, congratulations, you're pregnant. This is great. You know, you're going to be able to do it. You're going to make a great mom. You're going to make a great dad, to give them the type of positive feedback and support that they need, rather than the, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Oh, this is going to ruin your life, et cetera. It's those types of reactions that literally mean the difference between life and death. And it's that support network that needs to get put in place, because I think people are still a little reticent to stand up and really kind of, I guess, express the value of every human life when they encounter somebody that's kind of in a crisis pregnancy situation.
You know, I wonder what the, I haven't really read about this, and I haven't really heard about this, so maybe you have, but I know with some shock and disdain that late night TV and, you know, regular TV shows have been not only glorifying abortion, but talking about it as in, I mean, they're Vanity Fair articles, but the late night interview, I think it was with Jimmy Fallon, where someone was saying, oh, an abortion, thank goodness, you know, it's available. I mean, thank goodness. And it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I thought it was going to, and it wasn't. And I thought, I really can't believe it. It was not only aired and aired again and all over Facebook and all over YouTube, but have we gotten to that point? Are we on the other side of it where it's like, instead of being shame, oh my goodness, my sister had an abortion, I'm not going to tell anybody, it's such a secret, to now we're saying, oh yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
You know, there's millions of women that do speak out and tell their stories about how honestly the abortion negatively affected them. Yeah. Those stories are starting to get out, but you're right, they're not going to be interviewed on Jimmy Fallon's show, and they're not going to talk about those stories in those settings. But that's where the internet's come in, that's where social media's come in, that's where other events. And so I think that those stories are starting to get out there more. I think that's a big part of why this next generation coming up is rejecting abortion and is portraying themselves as pro-life. And it's really interesting. You look at the polls, and they'll poll youth on a wide variety of social issues, and almost all of them, support for liberal social issues is growing across the board.
Sure, yes.
Except for one.
Abortion?
And that's abortion. And there the support's declining and falling off. And I think it's because young people have grown up with the stories. They've grown up with, honestly, the wreckage and aftermath of what abortion has done. They're not growing up in a world where they're being propagandized and said, you know, this is great for women's rights. You know, this is a real beneficial thing for women. They're seeing the truth that, no, this is horrible for women. Women are never more vulnerable than when they're submitting themselves to an abortion. And it's a huge injustice. I ask groups all the time, can you imagine what the dating scene would be like if abortion weren't there in the background? Can you imagine how much more respect for women there would be? Can you imagine how much less sexual abuse and everything else that's going on?
Oh, sure.
You know, it's all indirectly connected to abortion. And I think this next generation coming up is seeing that and saying, you know what, if we really are for justice, if we really are for equality, if we really are for all of these things, we really have to be against abortion.
Well, Mark, you know, in addition to that, though, I think the shame has been lifted a little bit. The shame of being pregnant outside of marriage has been lifted. I mean, now babies are cool, and they're not only they're cute and cool, but it's not a big deal to be pregnant and not be married anymore.
Right, right. I think there was a lot of fear around that shame too, that people were terrified of trying to raise a child as a single mother. And as that shame's lifted, I think the kind of the ability to be able to raise a child as a single mother, the societal support that's around for that
Huge.
Has come. And so that's really been, in a lot of ways, that's been life-saving.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I do think that's a good thing. God bless you, Mark, for all that you do.
Well, thank you. And God bless you guys for Catholic Radio, too. This is an important tool for the pro-life movement. It allows us to get our message out on the airwaves to, really, honestly, the heart and soul of the movement in a lot of ways.
Okay, so just a quickie, and then back to Scott. So I know we have a short session. Is there anything going on in the legislature? Is there anything that we ought to be praying about, calling about, anything?
You know, there's a lot of mop-up work doing, and a lot of it revolves around the issues of enforcement. So we've been very successful at getting laws passed, But it's one thing to get a law passed. It's another thing to make sure that it's being enforced and that the abortion industry is following all of the regulations that have been laid out, that they're not cutting corners and they're not jeopardizing women's health by kind of cheating the system. And so there's a lot of mop-up work that's going on in that regard. But there's also a lot of work going on kind of outside the legislature, making sure that the laws are being enforced.
Well, who'd have thunk that Stericycle would have stopped doing business with Planned Parenthood? Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that campaign, in that regard, that's huge. I mean, that is huge.
Right.
I have a family member who used to work for Stericycle, actually was a pretty big in the organization. And several times I asked him about, I've read things and I've heard things. I mean, are you sure? And he said, no, our contract specifically excludes. Well, he no longer works with Stericycle, praise be. But I never thought in my conversations with them, I never thought that they would break ties or cut ties. But it was a lot of social pressure. There was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of social. And not only that, but I think it was a relatively easy business decision for them to make because.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. On the one hand, you've got the abortion industry over here. On the other hand, you have hospitals, you have doctor's offices, you have a huge amount of business, and abortion's just one small sliver.
And public
of it.
Perception of your company, for
exactly.
God's sake.
Exactly. Yeah, they had a lot more to lose than they had to gain.
Oh, yeah. Mark Tuttle, President of Right to Life of Indianapolis. Okay, Scott Seibert.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis March for Life.
Oh, Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's wonderful to say that, but just bring us up to speed. We've got a couple minutes left. What, where, when, how do we do it? What do we do?
Sure. So 1210 Mass at St. John the Evangelist downtown kicks off the day. The march around the Capitol to the Capitol will happen around 1:30. Then we have the speakers and kind of rally, I would say probably around 2:15-ish. Then there's a Rose Memorial service at 4 at the State House. Break for dinner. Come back to St. John's at 6:30 for the youth rally.
Oh, I think that's going to be lovely. I think, Father Rick Nagel, he is, and listener, you'll hear more from him. He's got the Chris Kendall March, I think that's going on. Is it this weekend? December 18th? It's 17th, 18th, 19th, something like that. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But St. John's, what a wonderful place to start and to end in the youth rally in the evening.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful. God Two bless. Bishops. It's going to be great.
So Bishop Doherty. And our bishop.
And Archbishop Thompson.
And Archbishop Thompson.
Yeah.
God bless you. Going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much for being our guest. Scott Seibert, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life. And then Mark Tuttle, President Right to Life of Indianapolis. God bless you both.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. I can say it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.